especially in B2B, like, you know, everybody's thought about like brand to brand, right? Business to business. But when it is somebody signing a piece of paper at the end of that contract, it is a human to human interaction at the end of it, right? So we still have to build trust. And in fact, I think we have to build more trust because the dollar figures, especially when you look at like enterprise deals, are much larger. I'm not just buying a 99-cent widget online from Amazon. So the trust factor in B2B is actually massive. And authenticity in thought leadership is a way to help build that trust without necessarily booking a meeting every time.
Hi, and welcome to CMO Convo. I'm Michal Lastman, your host and global marketing leader. Today, we're joined by Karen Chalmers, VP of Marketing and Partnerships at Interval, a speaker and a fintech leader passionate about innovation, storytelling, and human-centered growth. Karen, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you as my guest.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here as well.
Yeah. So before we're going to deep dive into today's topic, which is thought leadership inside the company, which I'm very keen to hear your point of view and perspective on that, Karen, I would love to know if you can share a bit about your background and your story.
Yeah. I mean, I come from a really, I often call my career a jungle gym, I suppose. So I come from a varied background. It's a lot. It's fun, right? So my background is really varied. I started my career in film and television. I worked in post-production for a number of years, moved into graphic design and website design in the early 2000s. And then from there, kind of get into, creative direction, marketing direction. And then that kind of led me down the marketing stream. So I didn't come at it in the classic, like, take your MBA kind of way. It was very much, you know, learn as you go, grow as you go, and climb that gym to the top. So, you know, no ladders for me. It's not as much fun to climb a ladder anyways. I don't like them very much. So I ended up here at Interval because I, you know, previously I worked for a startup accelerator. So I helped startups grow their company and you know, kind of start their entrepreneurial journey. And through that accelerator, I met Interval. And, you know, what we're doing here at Interval is pretty exciting. And I needed to kind of, you know, be part of that story. And that's actually, I think, the number one thing that really drives my whole career is storytelling in one shape or another, right? So film, graphic design, you know, kind of creative direction, marketing is storytelling in its own self. And the story we're telling at Interval is a pretty exciting one too, helping, you know, businesses understand their business value and grow their value so that when they eventually exit their business, they have more than what they hoped for at the end. So, you know, we're really democratizing business valuation through at Interval, and that's a cool story to tell. So that's my career. It's storytelling at its heart. And I think that like authenticity is a huge part of that storytelling. So that's, you know, the kind of the crux of who I am, really super authentic, but also a storyteller and a creative geek at heart.
I love it. I love it. Creative geek. It totally resonates with me. Yeah. And I think that, you know, like mentioning that career are not linears. And as you said, it's not about climbing a ladder. It's about actually connecting the dots and understand, okay, how can I produce more value from the unique gift that I have to give to the world? So I love it. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And you've already mentioned that you're a true storyteller at heart. And today's topic is thought leadership. So I would love to hear, maybe from your perspective, maybe we can first kind of like define, how would you define thought leadership?
That's a great question. So for me, you know, and obviously thought leadership is going to be from a lot of different perspectives, there's no doubt. But from my perspective, thought leadership is being authentic about telling the story that you're in right now. And that's likely a story about your business or the role that you're in if you're looking at it from a business standpoint. Obviously, there's tons of influencers who are doing all kinds of other things, you know, selling makeup or doing, you know, crazy yes theory stuff, right? But when we look at it from a business perspective, you know, kind of having that authentic voice that people are leaning towards, not necessarily always listening to, but leaning towards. And if you are able to really show your authority in your space, then it has impact, and it has marketing impact, right? So it, for me, it is like just being authentic, leading with your expertise, and everybody has expertise in something, and then really kind of resonating with an audience that is listening to you or leaning towards you.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And I know that you already argued that thought leadership is not only for executive, you know, because when I think about thought leadership, think about, executive, C-levels, people that are subject matter expert, so to say. And you actually argue that everyone could be a thought leader to empower the company team in order to do that. So would you mind sharing a bit about that point of view? How does that look like and work?
Yeah. So, I mean, as I just said, like everybody has some sort of expertise, and within your organization, you're all going to have, you know, expertise within your organization as well, right? So I look at somebody who works in customer success, and they have a very different lens than a even the CFO, right? So they're going to have a different story to tell about the business. And in order to do that, you have to kind of give people leeway to be able to tell that story and not keep them in a box, because the ability for everybody to market your business using their own voice, you know, it generates massive amounts of views on your company that you didn't have to pay for. So why not leverage that? And it empowers the people that are working with you and alongside you every day to feel like they're connected in that part of the story. So, you know, some really good examples of this are when you, give your team the tool set to actually, you know, write their own perspectives on a blog, or, give them the ability to contribute to blog writing even, right? That's a great example of one way that we've done it, is that I've allowed everybody to bring something to the table. And then I use my expertise to edit and kind of bring it back to the brand voice. But, you know, I've given them the allowance to do that, and I've asked them to do that, right? So that's a huge kind of trust within your own organization that you kind of have to build up. And not everybody's going to want to do it, and not everybody has to do it. But the more people that do, the more people that do, right? Like that, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's kind of FOMO, I guess, in some ways. But that's one way I think that, like, we can all be voices for our organizations. And as long as we live within the guidelines of the organization, so, you know, if I've signed an NDA, obviously I'm not going to be giving away trade secrets in my LinkedIn post, but I will, don't be stupid on the internet kind of stuff, right? But also, you know, make sure that we've laid those out correctly as an organization to everybody too, right? That should be table stakes as far as I'm concerned. So those are some, you know, kind of quick ways that you can empower people on how to contribute to the voice of the brand.
Yeah. So it sounds as if there is a lot of empowerment and also encouragement. So to encourage the team to be a collaborator, to be a contributor, which is great. I want to touch upon a topic that I love, which is mistakes. So what type of mistakes do companies, do you see, or, you know, have you already observed that companies do when they're talking about thought leadership or trying to encourage the team? So is there a way to set up the team for success when we're talking about thought leadership?
Yeah, I mean, you have to approach this with the idea that you need to set your team up for success. You can't just say, just go run, right? Like, because there are you know, compliance and regulatory stuff for in some organizations that you have to follow. So educating is a huge step in this. One thing that we did at Interval to kind of prepare the team for engaging in this type of activity is, you know, we gave them, you know, a education session on the brand pillars, what not to do, you know, like I said, don't be stupid on the internet. I used to actually, with every new hire at an organization I used to work at, I used to give the don't be dumb talk with every new hire, because it's shocking sometimes how many people are just not cognizant of what they say on the internet. But those, you know, creating a session, giving them, you know, a brand voice document to work from, the pillars in which that we want to try to uphold as an organization, you know, make sure they maintain the mission and the vision of the organization, give them graphics to work with as a starting point, teach them about brand guidelines, you know, just, you know, don't run off and make stuff in Canva without maybe running it by the marketing department, that type of stuff. But then also giving them the leeway to ask you for help, right? I'm not just letting you run out on your own and not helping you along the way. You want to run a thought leadership LinkedIn post by me to proofread? Absolutely. We'll get to the point where I don't need to proofread everything eventually, but at the beginning, it is very much holding hands and cheerleading, right? Like you're encouraging your team to participate in this thing that they kind of see as probably an extracurricular activity, right? And what we have to do as an organization and what we do at Interval, in fact, is we look at all of the marketing, the sales, the support entities as revenue team. We're all part of revenue, right? So if we look at it like we're all moving the needle towards, you know, making a sale, then we're all part of that story and we all contribute in that way. So that's another maybe, you know, kind of looking at like how do you bring the whole organization into it? You know, maybe your developers are not going to be the ones who are bringing, you know, thought leadership to LinkedIn, but they might be great at it. And you just have to know who you can tap to do that. So I'd also say get to know everybody on your team really well, because you'd be shocked at how many of them are secret theater people or, you know, love public speaking and they can go and do a podcast, right? So like there's definitely like the education piece, but then also like building the trust within your team to really connect with them and help them, you know, empower them to really be, you know, excellent at this.
Yeah, no, I love that. And by the way, yes, it is a surprise when, you know, sometimes like a developer is a true, could be like a top LinkedIn voice because they're good at storytelling and they're passionate about what they're doing. So I 100% agree. There are surprises in teams as well. So you once claimed a quote that I actually really love, brand is everyone's job. So with that in mind, I would love to ask what happens when teams interpret the brand differently. So sort to say, how do you keep the story aligned without having it scripted?
Yeah, it's a great question. So like I said earlier, like definitely giving them the tools, the brand pillars, teaching them how to tell the story of the brand. But then also, I mean, unless it's way offside, give them a little bit of rope. It's fine. You know, especially when we look at like a global organization, regionality is going to have some different tones, right? We all, even as a brand ambassadors, we all know that regionality is going to have slightly different versions of the brand. And so we, if you look at it from that perspective, well, then at the individual level, it's also going to have slightly different versions of the brand. But as long as you're all directionally pointing in the right direction, you know, that's the most important thing in my opinion. The other thing is that if I'm telling the brand story one way and, you know, our CEO is telling it a slightly but same direction version, what people realize is that we're not scripted to a T. We are actual human beings creating a product, delivering a service, building a business, and we are more trustworthy because of that, right? We're not robots. We're not AI. And we are, you know, real people trying to solve real problems in the world. And I think that authenticity, that trustworthiness goes a long way nowadays in particular.
Yeah. So would you mind unpacking that a bit? I mean, authenticity in the area of AI, what does that mean for you?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go in the area of AI. Wow. I would say that like with being authentic in the era of AI is that we are, our human voices kind of shine a bit more. And that's not to say that we can't utilize AI to help us along, because I think everybody is nowadays, and that's totally fine. I mean, we're more productive in some ways because of it. But when, you know, we get on a podcast, I'm not an AI voice. You're not an AI voice, right? But we're having a thought leadership moment right now. That's pretty authentic. That's pretty real. And when I do it in the written form, you know, sometimes I'll write my own stuff and then I'll say, hey, can we polish this up a little bit? So using the AI tools is helpful, but letting it do all the work is not the way to go about it. And, you know, teaching the AI your brand voice, your voice, right? You know, giving it lots of examples of your authentic writing and to say, hey, I need you to polish this up using my voice or using the brand voice. That's a really helpful way to approach it. And so, you know, I think in the grand scheme, as long as we're kind of the 80-20 rule, right, where 80% of it is kind of authentically you, and then you're using that 20% to polish up with AI, that's not the end of the world. And in fact, it's when you're teaching people how to join thought leadership conversations, giving them that little bit of a crutch actually makes it less scary. And then they start to release it more, or they use the tool better. But I definitely had people where they're like, well, I'm not a writer. I'm like, that's okay. You start with a crappy first draft, and then you can throw it into AI to help you polish it up. And then you make it yourself again, right? Like there's ways to use the tools while still keeping your own authentic voice. And it doesn't always have to be about business too. That's the other thing. You can create thought leadership moments just by talking about how things in your life may be relating back to your business, right? I do that a lot. And it doesn't always have to be about plugging, you know, the tool or the product or whatever. It's like, hey, you know, we have these authentic moments. And sometimes I'm talking about backcountry camping. Oh, well.
I love that. Actually, I think that, you know, for me, when I think about authenticity, I think about the personality and the person behind it, right? I think that especially in B2B, things are shifting in terms of being more human, being more playful, being more silly, funny, whatever you name it, awkward. But then really showing the person behind also these terms of leadership, which I think that that's also very important. I would love to ask, do you believe that now with the rise of AI and all the automation that we've been experiencing, thought leadership becomes even more important for a brand?
Yeah, I really do. I think that like you're saying, like the human behind the brand is really, really important to be showing off kind of who is part of that B2B conversation, especially in B2B. Like, you know, everybody's thought about like brand to brand, right? Business to business. But when it is somebody signing a piece of paper at the end of that contract, it is a human to human interaction at the end of it, right? So we still have to build trust. And in fact, I think we have to build more trust because the dollar figures, especially when you look at like enterprise deals, are much larger. I'm not just buying a 99-cent widget online from Amazon. I'm spending huge amounts of not my money. And I have to trust that the other person on the other side is going to do the thing that they say they're going to do. So the trust factor in B2B is actually massive. And authenticity in thought leadership is a way to help build that trust without necessarily booking a meeting every time, right? When we start to show up as ourselves online, then people know who we are before we even get into that meeting. You know, if you go onto my LinkedIn, you're going to see lots of examples of who I am as a person. And you're going to know, oh, this is kind of Karen's jam when we get on a conversation. So I know that here's some things that she likes to do, or here's how she looks at things. And we can start the conversation off on a quicker foot, and you get to trust faster when you're putting yourself out there And then especially, like I said, with a B2B kind of interaction, trust is really important. It's really, really important. So why not do everything you can to build trust faster, right? It just makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. And I think that, you know, as I once heard, people follow people. So not necessarily just the brand. They feel the connection also to the people behind the brand. Yeah. So before I kind of like start wrapping up this episode, I would love to ask for our listeners, how can they start or initiate a thought leadership program within their company, within their brand? What are the first steps?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely there's a couple of things. You know, getting acceptance from the top is the most important, because if you're just doing it at, you know, the BDR level, then you're not going to have, you know, the feeling that somebody's moving the needle properly, right? So I think that, you know, getting acceptance and agreeing from the top is the most important part. It doesn't have to be necessarily the CEO that says yes, but, you know, upper management definitely should be kind of, you know, agreeing that this is something we should be doing as a team. And I think the marketing and revenue teams are probably, they're most poised to really, you know, kind of dive into this, especially because, you know, we gain the most out of it too, as far as revenue, right? But beyond that, you know, I think the just making sure you build systems in place, put some rules down. They don't have to be super complicated, but they do just give people the sense that they know where they can play within. And then, you know, get people to start doing it. The worst thing that happens is that they say something that's a little that's not perfect. But that's okay. Not perfect's okay. You know, and if you've taught them how to not do it off brand, then you're setting yourself up for success and them for success. And if something doesn't go quite right, well, you know what? It's the internet. Tomorrow, nobody's going to remember. And it's deletable to a certain extent, right? Just don't be dumb. Like that's really the, you know, pick who you can trust within your organization to start it off as a trial. Give them the don't be dumb talk. Give them lots of assistance and guidelines to work with. And then let it happen and see what happens, right? You know, marketing, we do a lot of this, right? Where we, you know, we throw spaghetti on the wall and see if it sticks. And sometimes it won't stick. Maybe your ICP just doesn't live in spaces where thought leadership matters. But I would argue that that's probably not very likely, especially if you're working in B2B. So just try it.
Yeah. And would you mind sharing also from your experience, what makes a thought leadership a good, I would call it campaign, although it's an ongoing thing, but what are kind of like the three main components of a good thought leadership?
So I think some of the three main components are, you know, let's look at it from the pillar of LinkedIn, say, for instance, is you basically start by just commenting on reposting your own stuff from your business. I mean, it's shocking how many people don't do that. Then I would also start to look at like how you're going to write your own content by tagging in the organization, promoting your own stuff still. And then the third piece would be to kind of be a leader within your realm of the organization. So an example of that is that I'm, you know, marketing and fintech leader. I now start to show up in spaces where people are looking for speakers or podcast appearances or anything along those lines. And so it is like a kind of a building block, but you got to start somewhere. And, you know, start by writing a repost and using your own words, and then use those words in different ways and start to figure out how you can repurpose content. And, you know, basically you end up as a thought leader looking at it from a marketing lens, which most people, you know, don't really do until you start to ask them to and teach them how to. So that, I think, is the key to really kind of, you know, the more of a building block, I suppose, to getting started. And then if you stop there, cool, you're 99% ahead of most people. If you go on to, like, you know, have your own speaking engagements and those types of things, then you're really going to be, you know, your follower count's going to be stupid.
And we're talking about followers. My next question would be, are there any metrics or, you know, like numbers that we should be tracking, looking at, or giving them our attention to know, okay, we're going in the right direction?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the metrics of like reposting and stuff help the business, right? So that's one metric that you can start to count as an organization. But also, like, we have the ability to look at our follower count and our connections, right? So everybody who's contributing to this mission of thought leadership, you should be able to say, hey, like, I'm growing my follower count. People are starting to pay attention to me. And I've asked our team to actually share those numbers. I don't log into their stuff or anything like that, but it's just like, hey, give me one number, two numbers a month, your connections and your follower accounts. So you're making more connections, you're gaining more followers. That means your voice is being heard by more people. And then inherently, that means the brand voice is being heard by more people. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing. And so before we finalize this episode, is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience?
I mean, just go try it. There's nothing to lose by trying, right? Throw the spaghetti at the wall, make a whole pot of pasta, and give it a try, because, you know, you might find that you love it. You might find you hate it, but you might find that you love it. And if you love telling the story and showing that you have, you know, the expertise that you actually do, because we all do, it's kind of a nice feeling. So try it.
Yeah. Yeah. And for our listeners, is there any way that we should follow you? I mean, apart from LinkedIn, of course, you spoke about having speaker opportunities. Anything that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, definitely come check out Interval, which is interval.ai. Big surprise that there's an AI in the name. And so, yeah, interval.ai. And yeah, LinkedIn's the best place. DM me. I'm always up for a chat. I'm not, I'm authentically there. It's not a bot. And yeah, we'd love to keep the conversation going with anybody.
Good. Beautiful. Thank you very much for your time. It's been lovely to have this chat with you today.
It's been so great chatting with you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and review on your preferred platform. Don't forget to tune in next week for another insightful conversation with a leading CMO.